Listening Dog Media.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it was somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Welcome back to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper in what's been a very, very enjoyable weekend for me. What's it been like for you, Lindsay?
Oh, are you really going to go there so quick? Not so good. Not so good for me, which I'm sure you'll want to come on to. But loads of takeaways, loads of things to talk about. Ten Hag at United, Haaland at City. Oh, so much to get through. I'm going to skip over Wolves Leeds.
Yeah, I must admit, when I was watching it on the TV, and then it came up like after 5 minutes, Wolves are in the lead. I was like, oh no! And I was like looking at my phone. I was thinking, I hope she's working, because otherwise she'd be texting me.
I was working for Soccer Saturday, keeping across all the live updates on my phone. And yeah, I got really excited when I saw the early goal from Pedence, and then. What happened? I mean, I even watched Match of the Day and I can't really understand. We haven't got anyone to score, but ultimately Leeds were better in the second half.
Yeah, and then when your goalkeeper's making mistakes like he did at the near post, it doesn't help. But, you know, and then I was watching the managers having a bit of a go at each other as the final whistle went. I don't know what was all that, what it was about. You know, they were having a proper go at each other.
Probably Bruno Lage just venting his frustration at not having enough players. At least you had people you could bring on.
Bruno Lage was very salty.
I'm honestly not in the greatest of places either, with Connor Cody being linked with Everton. That could happen any moment. And he's been the best captain we've had for years and years and years. So I don't know what's going on.
It's not good when you start selling your best players.
No, and also Nottingham Forest are still haven't given up on Gibbs White. So we rejected 35 million, but apparently they're getting nearer to 40. And I just don't think that they'll refuse it. So then we won't have Gibbs White. We won't have Cody. We have, if you looked at the bench against Leeds at the weekend, it was just full of youngsters. There was no one there of any substance really to come on. You've lost Saïss, who was a big player in the first team. And I just really worry at the minute.
Are you turning into Southampton slowly?
It feels like it when I looked at the bench and I looked
it's
at
not
your
that bad.
Bench.
Yeah, but it might be in a couple of seasons, Callum. That is a very unimpressed face.
Oh. I watched the Man United game at the weekend, Cal, and I don't think I've ever seen a Man United team being so nervous. Especially playing at Old Trafford, the way you would expect the fans to get behind them, it felt like the fans were like adding to the tension.
Yeah, it just felt like last season just continued.
It's McFred. It all fell apart in midfield.
Oh, well, Fred and McTominay, I mean, he has to sort that out. I can't believe it's not already been sorted out, to be honest.
But he's been trying to, hasn't he? There's no wonder he's been going after De Jong for so long.
Yeah. But then also, why not start with Donny van de Beek?
Yeah, true. And then when he dropped Eriksen back a little bit, and Eriksen was getting on the ball earlier, that seemed to be a lot better. But they were 2-0 down by then, you know, so it was tough.
It'll be interesting to see what he does next weekend with them. But I think the problem areas are the McFred and Maguire just cannot start. It's like having a fridge at centre-back.
Oh no!
He was at fault for that goal. He steps up and he's not quick enough to get back.
He slows the game down so much, and immediately, I think when I was watching, I was just thinking, "Come on, Maguire, play a ball forward." And he did eventually, but his initial reaction is to just go sideways or backwards most of the time.
That's happening with a lot of the players as well. You know, they're taking the safe option all the time. It's not getting them anywhere. But I was surprised at how nervous and how tense it all felt and looked at Old Trafford, I must admit.
I think he'll come good.
You think United will come good, or you think Maguire will come good?
No. I think United will come good, and I think I don't think Ten Hag has got the patience for him. I don't think Maguire's got. I think Ten Hag's come in and gone, you know what, I'll see what I can do with this group.
Yeah, it's weird because I'd feel at the moment that Man United would have they'd have a better chance if it was away.
Yeah,
maybe Ten Hag's playing. You'll never walk alone. At the training ground for the next couple of weeks just to get them in the zone.
Ooh, a little dig. I like it.
A lot of work to do.
Apart from Man United, let's go to the positive side and talk about Arsenal. I was happy with the result. I thought the performance was good. It wasn't brilliant, but for me it showed a different side of the Arsenal team that might have lost that game last season, especially early on last season. You know, because like first half played really well. Jesus was amazing. I was really impressed with him, not just with his contribution in the box, but around the box. I didn't realise how good he is at holding the players off the ball and then holding the ball up. And for a guy of, you know, he's not massive, but he's really strong, and he looked so sharp on Friday night. But yeah, the second half, Palace came back into it, which is going to happen. You know, they're a good team. They're a hard team to beat at home. But yeah, overall, I was very happy with the result. And it was a good performance, but I was really happy with Saliba. You know, that's like getting a new signing.
Yeah, he was really impressive. I thought Martinelli was fantastic. And I think you've got to remember the quality that you got before all this business in the summer. So Saka's going to be key this season. Smith Rowe, when he comes back, he'll be brilliant again, I'm sure. And all you've managed to do is just add to that. And key, I think, is that you've added some winning experience with Jesus and with Zinchenko. I think what you've got now are players that, when it all crumbled at the end of last season, would be influential in the dressing room to make sure that doesn't happen again. So I really like the balance of the team. I like the makeup of it. I do think that you're still some way off. If you're comparing to City and Liverpool, I think there's still a huge chasm there. And I actually think Spurs look really strong. But I think that Arsenal have got enough there that next season we could be talking top three. That's how I feel about them. But there's a lot of work still to do this season, I think.
Yeah, there is. And what I'm more happy about as well is that the signings that we've made is in Zinchenko and Jesus, is that we've got finished article players, not players that are unknown and waiting to prove themselves. You know, like you said, Lindsay, these guys have done it, they've won it, and they've been there a long time playing their football to a really high standard. And it's great that they've now come to Arsenal, because there's no doubt about it, we have got a young team. But when they, especially in training as well, the young players will be watching these players in training and seeing how they're acting and how they're training. And then they'll be getting tips off them. You know, they'll be learning from them, no doubt about it. You know, then and especially when you see them doing it on a match day as well. You know, like I say, with Jesus, I was really impressed with him and really impressed with how sharp he was. And, you know, and you could see he was desperate to score a goal, you know, and he went on a really great run. He got a nutmeg and then he ended up with the old Brazilian toe poke, which you don't hear very often. Yeah. But he got blocked and then Martinelli just scuffed it wide. But away at Palace, it's a good result.
Let's talk about Fulham. They were brilliant against Liverpool. They chased everything down. They rightly were on top. I mean, when you look at this result, I think that they'll feel hard done by that they dropped 2 points. I really do.
I was really surprised, you know, because the Liverpool team that I saw against Man City in the Community Shield was totally opposite. They're not pressing. They're not being Liverpool. Fulham had a lot of possession in the Liverpool half. You know, I wasn't surprised in Mitrovic scoring, you know, because he's one of those players that's got the knack of being in the box. You know, he doesn't like try and link up play too much. He's always waiting in and around the box. And that's what you want your striker to be doing. You know, I've got this gripe about Harry Kane, how he drops way too deep all the time. And was even watching a clip of their game the other day, and then they scored a goal, and I was thinking, was Kane brought off? And then all of a sudden he came into shot because he'd been so deep, like helping the play. But, you know, that's what that in Mitrovic, you've got a player there that just stays in the box. And what did he score last week? Was it last year? Was it 40 odd goals or something? You know, so.
Yeah, he broke the record, didn't he, last year in the championship?
Yeah, you know, that's what he's about, you know. But I just felt that Liverpool were off their game a little bit. And then I watched Man City again on Sunday. And it was like a total change. You know, that weren't the Man City team that played against Liverpool in the Community Shield. You know, I was thinking, hang on a minute, what's happened? You know, because you can't just get a low fitter in 1 week. But they looked it. They looked right at it, you know. And in Haaland, I'm scared for the other teams in the Premier League that have to play against him because he looks so good. And I can't believe he's only 22.
I'm gutted that I went with Kane over him in FPL, which we'll come on to when we talk our FPL chat. But the acceleration that he's got, I don't think until you saw it in that first game. I didn't see it in the preseason matches that I was looking at highlight. I didn't see it as much as I saw it in that first game where I thought defenders are going to have real problems.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when you watch Haaland, when you watch some of the runs that he makes, and he doesn't always get played in, you know, but the runs that he makes, they're not like obvious, just straight past the defender. He takes the defender, he goes on the same line as the defender to avoid offside and then goes in. Very much like what Gary Lineker used to do. He used to run across the defender first and then go in. And that's what Haaland's doing. He's making some incredible runs still and not getting found out. But then all of a sudden he gets found out, he gets put through. And his finish, you know, the way that he just opened himself up onto his left foot and then just curled it around the goalkeeper was a real strong performance from City and an even better one from him, I thought.
Even his penalty was like insane. You just look at his penalty and you think,
I know, in off
Jesus,
the post.
Like that. yeah. Like he couldn't get even more perfect.
Side footed, in off the post. Yeah. Wow.
And City have got Bournemouth next. I was at Scott Parker's press conference where he openly revealed he has got a centre-back issue. He's got a crisis. You do not want to be having a centre-back crisis and facing Haaland, do you?
No. It's, good luck with that one. Sports Social, now on
the Sports Social Podcast Network. This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football. 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
Also, Spurs topping the table. I know you don't like to talk about it on this show, but they are top. You're not bottom, though.
I know. That's the relief. We're not far behind them.
Someone is, though, isn't they, Adam?
Who is? Oh, there's someone out the window, Adam.
What? How much was Salah paid?
Oh, yeah. That was an epic own goal, by the way. How can you get it that wrong where you're trying to clear it out and it hits your heel and then goes in your own
goal? His feet were all mixed up.
That was pretty...
It was like, you know, when you're getting used to playing FIFA for the first time.
You pressed the wrong button. And the thing is, he walked out and then, I can't remember who's, but one of the teammates... They gave him not like a high five, but maybe it was like they commiserated him or something. But like
he was in on it.
He's like, yes, 20k yeah. for you, 20k yeah. for me.
Yeah. Oh no! And you ain't 1-0 up.
We'll do the same. Yeah.
And you ain't 1-0 up, and I was like, go on, Southampton.
Yeah, I know. I think we poked the bear. It was like, oh, we've woken him up now.
Oh no.
I don't think that we can move on without going back to Liverpool for a second, because if there are Liverpool fans listening, we didn't really speak too much about Nunez. And if we've given plaudits to Haaland, Nunez also looks like the real deal, came off the bench, an assist and a goal. So it feels like this season could be about number nines for a change. I can't remember a Premier League season where that's what it's all been about, but it could come down to that.
Yeah, totally agree. He does look a good signing. You know, we've only seen him, we saw him a little bit in the chat, in the Community Shield, and then obviously he came on and had an assist and a goal at the weekend as well, you know, so that looks another great signing for Liverpool. And like I say, with Kane and Haaland, it's just, and then Jesus, I'm not going to not mention him. You know, there's some really good strikers, you know, and with Liverpool, you add him to what they've got already, and that's going to make them a real strong force. You know, I know that everybody see it, but what about Mane? They've lost Mane, but the replacement that they've got looks to be a really good signing.
How about Newcastle? Because Eddie Howe signed that new long-term contract. I think because they played Forest, not as much has been made of it, but it'll be interesting to see how they fare against a tougher opposition. Will they be ones that could rival for a European spot?
When you get a Newcastle team that's playing with confidence, plus the fans, that's a dangerous Newcastle. People are still waiting to see how many more players they're going to bring in, or how many players they're allowed to bring in, you know. But for me, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it develops, because I think a lot of football fans have got a soft spot for Newcastle.
I think a lot of football fans have got a soft spot for their supporters to a certain extent, because of the crap that they've been through with Mike Ashley over the years. Although I think they're still out for debate on the ownership of Newcastle and where they get obviously the funds come from. Not that we want to get too political on the podcast, but. But there also is a section of fans now that, you know, you kind of go, oh, we've got a soft spot for Newcastle. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, the arrogance. It's like, well, we've got the money. So, and you see it on social media and they are really going at other teams. And there's actually, I did have a soft spot, but you know what? Bollocks to you now. You know, on your own.
It's changed around.
Oh, yeah. Big time. That, yeah.
Oh, no. And now they've got their money, they're all jealous now.
David Seaman and Lindsay Hooper.
This is Seaman Says.
Seaman Says with SafeStyle. The great saves, you can't beat SafeStyle.
Right, guys, it's time for Save of the Week with SafeStyle. And if I'm honest, this week there's not been a great deal to choose from. Aaron Ramsdale made a couple of big saves on Friday night to keep Arsenal in the game at Palace. But there were saves that you would expect him to make, but there were still big saves. There was a 1v1 and then one from a header. But the winner this week goes to Sanchez of Brighton. The save he made from Rashford, although the linesman had his flag up, I think when we look back at it, we could obviously see that it wasn't offside. Obviously, he didn't know it was going to be offside anyway, but he still made the brilliant save. He closed Rashford down, spread his body, and then when you do that and it's your arm, then it makes it an even more special save, because you put your arms out there to be able to move. You know, and that's what he did. He composed himself, closed him down, still kept his balance, but then he made the save with his arm. And for me, that was a wow save.
When you talk about spreading yourself, because I thought that, David, I thought it was great that he got his arm in that, what I would call like an L position. And that's the part of the body that blocked it. But when you do that spread to make yourself big, is there a part of you that's also thinking, I could get absolutely nutmegged now?
Yeah, around that area, you could get it smashed right in you, you know. Yeah, but it's, you're making your body as big as possible. So you're hopefully that it hits you, because you can't react in such a short space of time. When Rashford's hitting that ball, it's really hard for him to actually move any part of his body in time to get to the ball. So you're making your body as big as anything. If Rashford's got the skill to slide it under him and try and get you through his legs, then sometimes you just have to hold your hands up and say, yeah, well finished. But you know, the spread is making yourself as big as possible so that you save it with anything. And I mean anything, even if it makes your eyes water.
When you do go across the line, obviously you're making your body as big as possible. Your torso and your legs are going to be in, how do I put this, like in an obvious place. You're going across, so your torso, your legs. But with your arms, is there a set position for a keeper? They should always keep them low. Like where are they meant to go when you're going across like that? Or do you, wherever you can?
At like shoulder height, maybe a little bit lower, because what you don't want to be doing is putting your hands behind your legs as you lead with your legs, you know, because there's no purpose. If it's going to hit you, you're going to save it with your leg. And that's what I'm saying about you need every part available to try and stop the ball. You're hoping it hits you, but if you've got your arms out at shoulder height, if they miss hit it, then you can adjust your arms. You know, it's almost impossible to move your legs in time because all your body weight's going through your legs, you know. So if they do miss hit it, you can actually adjust your arms and try and get a deflection on it. That was Save of the Week with Save Style. For great saves, you can't beat Save Style.
Save of the Week with Save Style. For great saves, you can't beat Save Style.
Seaman Says, in conversation.
Our first guest of the season has 4 league winners' medals, 3 FA Cup wins, and also happens to be my best mate. Here's a quick taste of our chat with Lee Dixon. What did you reckon of the weekend, Dico? Did you see the Arsenal game? Oh no, you were working on it, weren't you?
Yeah. We played golf in the morning, and then I left you having a boozy lunch, and I went off to work.
That's celebratory lunch. What are you on about, boozy lunch?
Yeah, who was it that you beat?
Oh yeah, it was a certain Mr.
Glenn
Oddle.
Yeah, Arsenal, Tottenham.
Well, no, I don't know whether Mr. Paul White would be happy being on the Tottenham side because he's a massive Arsenal fan. True. But Paul White, our host, he had Glenn Hoddle as his partner, so it was only fair to actually smash them. So anyway.
Yeah, so I went off to Palace and I had a really good long chat with Patrick before the game, and He was a little bit apprehensive because they haven't done an awful lot of training together at Palace because, you know, they were away on tour in Australia, and there was a lot of the players couldn't travel and because of various reasons. And so the squad has not really been together that much. So he was a little bit apprehensive about how much training they'd done. He said we're a little bit short as far as, not fitness wise, but as far as team shape and understanding. Couple of new signings, and he would have ideally liked another couple of weeks. So he's kind of planning on the next 2 to 3 weeks, the team really coming together. So it's probably, from that point of view, a good time to play them. Albeit, as you know, Dave, Palace is not the easiest place to go and play. Although when we were playing against them, there was always a great atmosphere, but can't remember losing there very often. We always seemed to win there, didn't we?
Yeah, the only time I seem to remember losing at Selhurst Park was when Wimbledon were there.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But yeah, we had a good record against Palace. And it was, you know, I thought they played very well in the first half. We saw a lot of really positive parts of the team. And obviously Saliba at the back, and Jesus was fantastic, his movement in the first half. And a lot of energy, and started like we thought they would do and hoped they would, and Palace couldn't really live with him. But second half, you'd expect Palace to get back in the game a little bit, playing at home and have the fans behind you, and maybe a team talk that was a bit harsh from Patrick, and they made it difficult second half and had a couple of chances. But I think overall, you know, I heard people say, oh, it wasn't a true reflection of the game, 2-0, and then I was like, Ramsdale made a couple of really good saves, so well, that's his job.
They were decent saves as well. Yeah, but you know, the 1v1 was better than the save from the header, because you know, when it's 1v1 like that, you're hoping that you've closed him down enough. And whereas when you look at them, you think the header one, if that goes in, then you're thinking, well, we should save that. But still good saves.
Yeah,
and big saves at the right time.
I've always looked at, I mean, I'm pretty harsh on goalkeepers because I've obviously played behind
oh,
you.
Oh, no.
I was behind you a few times.
Trying to clear off the line.
Picking my chip shots out the back of the net.
Oh, no. How long's he been on? About 10 minutes, and he's mentioned it already.
Well, because of that, I'm a little, playing in front of you. Your standards are, you know, they're really high because you very rarely made a mistake. So I just presume all goalkeepers are like that. So when I look at see goalies make saves, and I go, you know, I think that's a good way of looking at it. Is they say, oh, it's a great save, he kept it out. But to actually think, if he let that in, would you be having a go at him and saying, you should have saved that? And I think majority of the time keepers make saves, you would probably say that. There's very rarely, I think, that a goalie makes a save and you go, it's a brilliant save. He's done, you know, most other goalkeepers wouldn't have saved that. I think the variation between goalkeepers is very tight. I think the exceptional ones are a bit better, not a bit better, but they all generically make quite a lot of saves. But if I was in the goal, I'm not saying I would save it, but the fact that you're a body or a presence, there's only so many places you can get it past them. And I don't know reactions, and I'm being, this is my take on goalkeepers. And
you're making it sound like it's a really...
Should we give you a shovel? Do you want a shovel?
Well, I'm saying, there's money for old rope, basically.
Love it. Right, you can cut him off anytime you want, David.
It's not as easy as I made it look.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have the full chat with Dicko right here later on in the week, so stay tuned. We'll also be back on Friday as we preview the weekend's matches and get expert tips from fantasy football expert FPL Falcon. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.